hold on to your butts. It's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die. Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And here we are with episode 79 of Destroy All Culture with Aiden Morgan and me, Adam P. Nave.
79?
79? I don't feel a day over 70.
I don't even know what that was supposed to be, but, you know.
I don't either, actually.
It's pretty good. We invented a whole new character from some weird indeterminate place in the States.
I feel it was an animated character.
I feel too. Yeah, I agree. I feel it's like maybe look like somebody from Ma in Futurama, but in like a, I don't know, a, with like a sort of.
I was thinking like one of those like horrible like Christopher Lloyd like hybrid human animated creatures from Roger Rabbit.
That'll do too.
One of those horrible creatures like Christopher Lloyd. Okay, that sounded a little bit mean there when I started.
One of those abominations of nature, you know, like Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, man. That's one of the things I miss the most about Taxi, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Taxi was, I mean, and I guess Cheers, the 80s were the last time we actually got TV shows with people who weren't, like, shiny CW stars, right?
Yeah, yeah. People were allowed to be, well, even ugly, but I mean, they were allowed to look like normal people.
I mean, yeah, I'm just thinking, like, you know, sure, Always Sunny has, like, Danny DeVito. But he has Danny DeVito because now he's Danny DeVito.
Right. It's funny. I was just thinking of Danny DeVito, and I was playing back that particular line of reasoning in my head. But I'm just thinking, like, imagine, like, a modern-day, like, untried Danny DeVito showing up for an audition on Arrow, for example. I mean, other than playing some crazy villain, I don't think it would happen.
Exactly. Like, he'd get a villain role. You know, but that's it. Yeah.
The truth is, even the villains these days are usually pretty, pretty like handsome people. I mean, it's just the way that goes. I mean, they replaced, you know, Mixopitalix for like from this like imp sort of to this sort of CW looking fellow. I'm like, well,
right. And what I love was their reasoning, which was so horrible when you stop and think about it.
What was their reasoning?
Their reasoning was they want him to look like someone that Kara might actually fall for.
Right.
And you're like, okay, wait a minute. Like,
we're going to cast an interdimensional abusive stalker. Who should we cast? I know, someone hot. Okay.
God. Anyway, we should start off, I guess, with our normal stuff and positive things for a change. There was a Killjoys.
There was a Killjoys. It was funny. As I was watching it, I was thinking, just as every science fiction show has to have a like lost, abandoned ship episode, so must every science fiction show have a like stranded religious cult episode.
Yeah. You know, they did, however, manage to make it creepy as hell.
Did they ever? Yes. And not just all creepy, but also in Killjoy's fashion, they've got no time for, like, standalone sci-fi tropes. They must take all these classic things and loop them into, like, the overall story.
Well, sure. I mean, because they can't. Yeah, they only have 10 episodes.
Exactly.
But it loops in really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that, again, it's one of these things with good story, that the here's our great plan and it falls apart. It falls apart because of the characters,
mm-hmm.
not just because it needed to fall apart. Like, no one was written stupid.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, the, what's your face? What's the name of the new character again? I can never remember. Zeph, thank you. I like the way they're... I don't know how long she's going to be around for. I've not checked IMDb.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope the whole season.
Yeah, me too. But I like the way they're sort of integrating her into the ship, into the cast of characters, and already sort of making her sort of part, like an integral part of at least of this episode. And the last
right,
one.
Right, well, I also feel like she has a different, and this was the thing, was if you watch the first two seasons, you'll notice that John has a problem when it comes to biology.
Mm.
He's not that's great true. At it.
That's true.
And that's her specialty. So it's like, this is the thing they've been missing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he kind of is halfway between being the team nerd and being another one of them, like the action-oriented Killjoys.
Yeah.
Like, he floats between them, so having one firmly pegged to one side...
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm. And we'll know more in retrospect, like another few episodes, I think, when things kind of settle a little bit into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm already starting to feel like, just to go back to Farscape again, that moment when Shiana comes in, suddenly the cast just felt, oh, that was the thing that was missing.
Yeah, yeah. I know, Shiana was the thing that made such a huge difference in
right, and I think Zeph could fill that same void. My only issue
maybe
is...
Maybe she'll get cat's eyes.
Maybe she will. No, my only thing is that just so long as she doesn't come at the expense of, like, time with, you know, Pri or Fancy or anyone else.
I agree.
Because at a certain point, it's just there are too many characters on screen.
Yeah, and note that this episode was conspicuously Pri and Fancy, like...
Fancy Pri, in fact.
It was Fancy Pri, exactly. It was Pri and Pri-Pri. I don't know. Hey, I found words that rhyme. That's funny to me.
Next week is apparently whatchamacallit is some backstory on Pri, which I am insistingly, at least for myself, calling a prequel.
Ooh, nice. Nice. I knew we were gonna get some of it. Like there was a little hint at some point dropped by Tom Allison. That we were going to find a little more about Pri's warlord days, whatever those might be.
So great.
Yeah. I think that's... Here I am, running around in a leather apron, being a warlord. You know, it just seems par for the course. Actually, the more I watch this, watching it last night, it's funny that you should mention Farscape, because watching... The most recent episode just reminded me in some ways of Farscape more than ever.
Yeah, well, and again, it's the speed, it's that tone.
Mm-hmm.
It's
all the leather.
It's all the leather. It's that now we have enough characters to leave some on the ship sometimes.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and again, giving them horrible problems and making, like, horrible, horrible plans on purpose. It's just so great. Yeah, no, the show continues to just rock it along, frankly. Mm-hmm. Again, I had that problem of, like, this is really only the third episode?
Yeah, I think it's actually kind of, like, messing up some of my, like, understanding of other series this season.
Right.
For example, Orphan Black is on, like, episode 6 or something.
Yeah, 6.
But when I was trying to, like, find, like, pick up where I left off with Orphan Black, it just messed me up because, frankly, Killjoy's episode 3 feels like episode 6 of any other series.
Right, it did the same thing for me with Wynonna Earp, because they are the same night.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was just like, what do you mean it's episode, like, they're 3 episodes ahead? Really?
This doesn't make any sense. Like, shouldn't this be 3 seasons down the road by now? It was pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying the characterization of Anila.
Yeah, she's a special bag of snakes.
it's a kind of excess that I didn't think the show was gonna go for. You know,
really,
I thought I have no idea why I thought this, but I sort of pictured Anila's would be sort of more of a cunning. It would be cunning and sort of cold, not like absolute batshit crazy.
Well, I think the whole thing, and this is what, you know, Klein was kind of warning everyone about with her, was that she is cunning and cold, or she was, until she went insane.
Yeah.
And so that's still there, and that's a problem, but also now she's insane and completely unpredictable.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's just, like, you didn't even need to have her stab everybody in the room at that one scene. You kind of knew that that was sort of always a possibility. But it was like, oh, yes, there we go. And I loved the, and another thing with attention to detail, that great little moment when she's got her knife to Dulcinea's throat, or Dulcinea's throat, and then she removes the knife and the cut sort of heals.
Heals, yeah.
And it's sort of, it's not even sort of, it's not front and center, it's just there, and it's like, oh yeah, this is the dynamic now. Yeah, it was fascinating. I like Dulcinea still looking for a way into power, even when she's sort of suddenly way at the bottom of the totem pole again.
I did have a great moment personally when, you know, Anila's assistant is like, you have to be careful what you tell her. And Dulcinea's like, no, I don't, walks into the room, and I was just like, I just turned to Lasso, I was like, okay, when the boss's right-hand man goes out of his way to warn you that she's not all there, you need to listen.
That was great.
It's like, not his best interest to do that, which means it's worse than you think.
Yeah, it's like, he's gone, he just sort of like shakes his head. No, don't. Okay, you're going to do it. Well, you'll see what happens. All right, yeah. And I can't remember the name of that actor who plays the right-hand man, the general. He's
been in all sorts of things.
Yeah, I believe he's Canadian. He's one of these.
Well,
yeah, I know. I mean, it's Killjoys. I mean, it's genre television. But he's been a long time. Like, he's a well-known theatrical, like, stage performer in Canada. So he's just, so it's always so funny when you see the, like, people that you only see at, like, festival performances, all of a sudden, wow, they got work, you know, as a guy in a science fiction show. All right.
Right.
Yeah, always funny.
But yeah, Killjoys continues to be, I think, the best kind of, I want to say, like, one of the best shows on TV, and it definitely is.
Mm.
But I mean, I'm like, you know, it's not, like, I want to call it the best show on TV, but it's in its specific category, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And I'm not taking anything away from it, but I'm just like, yeah. But Legion exists. But, you know, Good Place exists. Like,
yeah.
And I don't think we've hit peak TV, frankly, because things like Zoo are still on. So...
I think that's the necessary, like, underside to peak TV. You still need Zoo. In order to make things like Killjoys, or, you know, in order to make, like, all the prestige dramas and the really great genre shows like Killjoys, you know, work.
Right.
And there will always be a place for sloths that cause earthquakes and ants that will electrocute you from the inside out somehow.
Well, this is how we get ants.
This is how we get ants. Oh, shit, I watched that whole episode. Never once did that
really
cross my mind. I know. I don't know why.
I'm disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in myself. Oh, man.
Anyway, so Orphan Black, I know you're not actually caught up.
No. Nope.
I just want to say, I'm just going to... The pre-credits bump was, this is an episode that has a lot of Crystal.
Oh, okay.
And the pre-credit bump alone, I was just like, I understand that, like, we can't afford to burn an entire episode on, like, Crystal's crazy-ass shit without it tying into everything else. I was like, but I kind of want to. Like, I just want this entire episode just to be Crystal's crazy-ass fucking shit. Like, it's not an everyday sort of thing, but sometimes you just want an entire episode of that specific brand of, wait, what?
I was curious as to how much of Crystal Godrich we were going to get in this season, because she's easily the one clone character that could probably be, that if they had to look at, like, you know, how much story they had to tell and how many episodes, they could say, well, maybe we can do a little less Crystal. So I'm very happy that they...
She's heavy in this episode.
Awesome. I actually started watching an episode of Orphan Black, and it starts... And I watched this scene. It starts with her training with a trainer and basically beating the hell out of him. And I think might have been last week's episode. And she's going on about, like, sorry, I've got some like, you know, some stress build up. I was kidnapped by some twins.
Yeah.
Like, oh God. Yeah. That was pretty great. Meanwhile, the trainer's like, okay.
Right. And what I love is that, you know, if you listen to Crystal and you have no clue, it's what? But if you're on the inside of the whole, like, you know, the whole clone thing, they're still going, what? And it doesn't matter what side you approach it from.
It's still crazy, yes. I love
that.
Yeah, I want to be all caught up on Orphan Black sometime this week. That's my... Okay. These are my...
Well, we
I'm
going to
call
it
my
week,
OB goals. Oh, right. So. That's right. We're taking a week off.
Yep, I won't be in town in time to record.
It'll be my birthday.
It'll be your birthday. I mean, maybe we could do it Monday if we really wanted to, but I think we can afford to skip a week.
Sure. It'll be so much. And I'll be able to... Maybe I'll go see War for the Planet of the Apes, or War of the Planet of the Apes. Ape Planet War.
I will say, so here's the thing. You know, I really did enjoy, like, the summer movies have been really good. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of Guardians of the Galaxy. I really liked Wonder Woman. I liked Spider-Man a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, I'm like, I've been having a big writing marathon on this novel. I need to get a little bit ahead of where I've been. Because I am traveling next week, so I kind of want to pre-make up that time if I can.
Mm.
But I was like, you know what, yesterday I was just like, you know, I need a small break. Let's go see a movie. And so I looked, and the current theater had Guardians and Wonder Woman and Spider-Man and Baby Driver. Now, I've seen all of them. It's like, well, which one do I want to go back and, like, actually rewatch? Like, which is the one I'm like, you know what? And it was Baby Driver.
Of course.
Because as good as all those other films are, let's face it, Baby Driver.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's only so much, there's some rewatch value in all of them, but I think...
Oh, there totally is.
Baby Driver will give you the most rewatch bang for your buck.
Yeah, it was a hell of a lot of fun the second time. Just because I could not have to worry about plot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I could kind of, not zone out, but I didn't have to pay quite as close attention to, like, everything and focus more on the bizarreness of the technical details going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which, apparently, an article I actually haven't read, but Lasso was telling me about, they did some of the editing on site.
Oh, interesting.
Like, when they filmed certain scenes, if they didn't line up enough that they could make it work... Because they had the editor on site doing some of that. They had to reshoot. Just if you wanted to get another level of exactly how neurotic this movie was.
Oh my god.
So yeah.
That sounds right to me. Yeah, I'm actually where I think at some point I'm going to go see it again. Alan has also said she'd want to see it again. It's just so much fun.
It is. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Also, frankly, the scene in the diner plays a little bit differently when you know exactly how far Buddy goes.
Ah, okay.
Because when it first happens, you're like, I don't really? And then you get the payoff. This time you go into it, you realize, like, oh no, they're not bullshitting. Like that whole, like, you know, he sees red, you see black, and all this. It's like, oh no, that shit, this has happened before, hasn't it? Like, Anyway, so yeah, the Winona Earp happened as well. You're caught up, I hear.
I am all caught up with Winona Earp. They dropped a bombshell in penultimate episode. And, you know, and I've... This is one of these things where I'm never entirely sure how I feel about, like, a show with a lead female character and then they drop a pregnancy in there. It doesn't always work very well because then all of a sudden it becomes sort of, like, consumed with this, you know, pregnancy where people...
Well, you know what happened, right? The actress found out she was pregnant.
Oh,
right around before they started filming this season.
Oh, you mean so Melanie Scrofano is pregnant?
She that is not a fake baby bump. That is her.
Oh, I had no idea.
And she still does all her own, like, most of her own stunts.
Oh.
For the season, but yeah, no, she found out she was pregnant and went to them and was like, "What do we do?"
Wow.
Because it's going to be hard to hide her for an entire season and all this. And Emily Andrews was like, we work with it. Like, let's, you know, it takes a little bit of rewriting for the season, but we can work with this.
Huh.
And so they did. This was not a planned thing.
Wow. Sorry, I had no idea.
But that's why I think they had to do the that entire... Because if you notice the first few episodes, if you go back and look, She is wearing big coats.
Yeah, and I mean, I noticed that, but I just thought that
but
was
it's winter,
like,
you know.
Yeah, it was. It's cold. That's.
But it's also just no. She actually was pregnant for the entire shooting of that season.
Oh, hence the joke. Hence the joke in the most recent episode. I'm going to need a bigger coat.
Right. And they decide not to shy away from it and actually play into it, because why not?
Well, that's more interesting.
Right, and that's why I said when you hadn't watched last week, so I was like, when you get there, let me know, because knowing that actually does help in a weird way. Like, it doesn't feel like, well, we're going to just try this, although it could still be an interesting thing. It was just we're coping with reality.
Right.
And, you know, I trust them to do it.
Well, one thing I loved is that whenever there's a genre show and a character gets pregnant, they always like go from "I'm pregnant" to all of a sudden something mystical happens and they're showing or like giving birth in the next episode.
Right,
and it was, but they obviously they had to do it here. I mean,
right, and that's the thing. It's like I was wondering if they were like how slow this would this play out.
Right,
but it was just it hit a point where they couldn't hide it during filming.
Which is funny because they did the same thing in season 4 of Angel when Charisma Carpenter got pregnant.
When Angel got pregnant. Wait.
When Angel got pregnant. When David Boreanaz got pregnant. He was auditioning for the Schwarzenegger film and took it too seriously.
Right.
But the thing is apparently she didn't tell she didn't tell Whedon and the producers for quite some time, until it was really until like scripts were written and everything, and she's like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant, and when you watch season 4, you can tell, like you can tell that she's pregnant. By the way, they're dressing her, just by her face,
right.
And sometimes by the way, she actually looks like she has trouble, like sort of like getting up from a chair.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's weird. And then all of a sudden she goes from I'm pregnant in one episode to being sort of like gigantic in
yeah,
the next.
And I understand the problem, you know, as an actress especially, like you say the words I'm pregnant to anyone on your set and suddenly your job is suspect, which is
exactly.
Terrible.
I know.
So, you know, good going by, you know, everyone on board on one or for not only just being like, okay, like, whatever. We'll make that shit work. But again, letting her do her own stunts, you know, the whole thing.
Right.
Like, not being afraid of it, but rather using it.
Yeah, as opposed to putting her in bigger and bigger coats and then having her sort of sit behind desks for, like, several episodes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is a much more interesting way to do it. And and it produces some legitimate sort of like interpersonal dynamics between her and Dolls and Doc.
Yep.
You know, that makes it. Oh, here is a question. And I at the very end of the most recent episode, Doc gives Waverly a note to give to Winona.
Yes.
But I couldn't read the note.
Oh, it says I'm all in.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, I had the same problem. I had to like pause it like 3 times.
Yeah, I got as far as I am all, but I could not make out the last word.
Right, I was just like, fuck, I'm actually old. I need a bigger TV or something. Could I hit zoom on this?
Yeah, I know. That's enhance.
Man, that was okay. So yesterday I went to go see Baby Driver, and of course, yet again, I had to sit through the fucking Blade Runner fucking trailer.
Ooh.
So sorry. I'm just angry every time I have to think of that movie exists. Like I get angry.
Was it the trailer with Jared Leto in it?
No.
Okay, because there's two trailers, and the first trailer is, you know, basically. It's like,
here's
I had your job once.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's a piano. I got better play a note. All right. But the second one is more. Shows you a lot more of the world. It looks, you know, unsurprisingly.
I'm sure that some shitty ass movie will make me fucking see it.
I'm sure.
And I think shitty ass, like it's the movie's fault, but you know, it is.
That's right.
But they're going to see Valerian and be like, I love this, except for that fucking trailer.
Yeah, and then, but Jared Leto is in it, and it's like, I just, ever since Suicide Squad, I just can't, I cannot with Jared Leto or Leto or however he likes to say his name.
He kind of outed himself as terrible.
Yes. I'm coming out as a jerk.
Yeah.
That's right, asshole Americans. That's what Jared Leto is, a proud member of the community. That's a shame. It's what can you do? You try to avoid these things, but you can't. Right. However, I did see I have seen a couple of trailers which actually have me in a good mood.
Okay.
The Ava DuVernay's Wrinkle in Time. The trailer just...
I actually haven't seen that yet. It's one of the things of, you know, of all the... Well, anyway, go on.
It's, the cast looks fantastic. Like, the parents are played by Chris Pine and Gugu Mbatha-Raw. The Meg Murray, I don't know the actress, Storm Reid, she looks perfect. She's like a young, sort of nerdy-looking black girl. She seems to embody Meg Murray really well. It's oddly enough having Oprah Winfrey and Mindy Kaling and Reese Witherspoon as the three women works really well. And the vision of the nightmare dystopia world is just really horrifying. You only see it for a moment, but it's fascinating. It's a lot more colorful and lush than I always envisioned it, this book. But I think they've moved the setting to America and to Florida, so it's all like a lot of it is bathed in sunshine and palm trees and such, which wasn't what I would have thought for A Wrinkle in Time. Because when I think of Wrinkle in Time, I think of like a bunch of like, you know, pale English kids and a lot of damp and rain. So this is a very different sort of vision, but man, it looks beautiful, and I think it looks a little effects heavy, but very heartfelt. So I have a good sense of it.
So here's the I haven't seen the trailer. I've also never read the books.
Oh,
yeah. You know, there were only so many books and so much time. And again, as a kid, there were a bunch of like the kids' literature stuff that I went from Dr. Seuss to science fiction because of my father.
There you
like
go.
You know, and not that Wrinkle Time isn't science fiction, but I went from like that to like, you know, C-Mac and
yeah,
as well. But Heinlein, like I skipped over a lot of the YA, what we would now call YA stuff.
Right, just went straight to the hard stuff.
Yeah, and when I was in college, when I was like 18, I went back and read a whole bunch of it. You know, like Alice in Wonderland and Winnie the Pooh, for God's sake, and you know, like all those. And of course, they're fucked up when you read them when you're older than like 10. But I never got around to Wrinkle in Time. And I'm like, I should probably fix that before the movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, everyone loves it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how they would read in this day and age. But I think if I read them now, the religious allegory aspects of it would be much, much more prominent. Like, you don't know these things when you're a kid, right?
Right. I mean, that was my problem. I couldn't get through Narnia.
Well, yeah.
And this is my only concern, is that I couldn't get through Narnia.
It's a lot more sophisticated than the Narnia.
It would have to be, wouldn't it?
I actually really enjoyed... it's funny, because A Wrinkle in Time is the big sort of the most popular one. But I really liked the sequels as a kid, too, because they were much... I don't know, they were much stranger overall. They were just sort of... They seem more introspective and... I think it was A Wind in the Door and Swiftly Tilting Planet. All these hopping around in alternate dimensions, and it was very. None of the sequels held together as well as A Wrinkle in Time, but I found them more interesting for that.
Okay, yeah. I can see it.
Yeah, sometimes I like books that are not technically as successful. Artistically overall successful as others, but are more sort of obsessive and personal and stranger.
Right.
and the later Lengel books of that series. And there's one more called Many Waters, I think, which I never read. I was just too old by that point.
Well, yeah, there's five of them in total.
Yeah. Five. Oh, okay. I only knew four. All right.
Yeah, no, the last one is An Acceptable Time.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I'm not going to read it. I got too much to do.
But yeah, it's one of the things that, like, I definitely gonna try to read at least the first one before the movies. And see what happens. You know, see if I like them. But yeah, I actually didn't see the trailer. So, oops.
That's all right. I think it's a fascinating trailer.
I will go back and see it. It's like I said, like I'm gonna read the books. The speaking of trailers and books, it's funny because, you know, I'm not a huge Stephen King fan. By which I mean there's very little Stephen King I actually like.
Yeah, except for the Tommyknockers, which is your all-time favorite.
This is not true.
Excuse me, I must go to Twitter and tell Twitter that.
Actually, I don't think I've ever read Tommyknockers.
It was not very good. I will tell you this so you don't have to read it. It was not a good book.
I have a lot of problems with a lot of King, and I tried reading the Dark Tower stuff once, and it didn't work for me. And you know, a few people were like, "Oh, you have to get like later in the series. You have to get to like book four or five before it gets good." And I'm just like, I can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have zero interest in Dark Tower or really most Stephen King. I try a bunch of, you know, Under the Dome. I read and it was fine. It's just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the trailer, and I realized that I will happily pay the money just to watch Idris Elba. Being all, like, gloomy Idris Elba.
Yeah, I can't think
of any... Canceling another apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly. Although, you know, frankly, I can't think of another reason, because, I mean, Idris Elba looks great. I think he's probably... Looks like he's taking that role seriously. But the rest of it, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm not sure I want to watch even Idris Elba like wander around in this movie, but who knows? We shall see.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun enough.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, again, as someone who's not a fan of the material, I don't think it'll ever be great to be.
No. No, I do agree.
I'm coughing fit. I'm back and alive.
Back alive. I am looking forward to It.
Really?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to
that
It.
That fucking clown looks terrible.
You know, I don't care. It's just something I know I'm going to watch, so I might as well look forward to it.
That's all fine. To me, it looked terrible. That doesn't mean it won't be any fun. I mean, God knows it.
Yeah, no, the clown
won't be great either. It's just the clown looks terrible.
Clown does look pretty terrible. I mean, the miniseries. I mean, you know, the clown didn't look so great either. But it was Tim Curry, so I'm perfectly willing to put up with anything if it's Tim Curry doing it. You know, so that was
well, sure.
Although, did I tell you? I maybe we talked about this, but I watched the miniseries a little while ago. I hadn't seen it in like years. I mean, you know, 20 some years. So I thought, I wonder if it's any good, because I don't remember if it's any good or not. And I watched it and I'm like, holy shit, this is just the worst thing I have ever seen. But I couldn't stop watching it. I was like, I gotta keep watching this to see if it keeps being as bad. Oh my god, it's still terrible. So
yeah, well
you know, just like a really cheap TV show.
But yeah, I just have that bad feeling that I'm going to go up and see Dark Tower. And it's funny. It's like I tried to watch the Warcraft movie once.
Oh, God.
Now, as someone who's never played Warcraft, because I'm always curious, because like there's a bunch of stuff that, like, I love. And I'm like, I don't know about you, but it's always the back of my head. Like, I wonder how this plays to people who don't like this.
Right.
Obviously, if you don't like it, you're not going to like it. But, like, people are like, oh, well, I don't know Spider-Man at all. Like, I've never read a Spider-Man story, never heard a Spider-Man book, whatever. How does this movie play?
Right. Like, yeah, how much buy-in do you need?
Curious. Right, yeah. Exactly. Like, how much pre-buy-in do you really need to be like, this is awesome?
Yeah.
Because, like, for instance, Fury Road, a ton of people never saw any fucking Mad Max movies before that. No. And you don't need to.
No.
And that's true for all the Mad Max movies, frankly. You can watch any of them just as a thing.
That's true. Yeah, they're not really series. Dependent on each other. They're just kind of loosely sort of like connect, but very right. loosely. Yeah.
So you know, like I'll occasionally watch stuff from series that I have no connection to, just out of curiosity. Like if the fan base is like, "Oh, this is great," and everyone's like, "This sucks," I'm like, "Okay, well, let me see how much buy-in you actually need." Because it's not that I don't trust reviewers, and reviewers are hard, but reviewers have their job to do, and there is a difference between a well-reviewed film and a fun, schlocky movie, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I love both.
Right.
But the fun, schlocky movies do not tend to get great reviews. Because that's they true. Are, in some sense, terrible.
Well, it was like... it was like when I was watching Punisher Warzone.
Yeah.
And I thought... And I don't know if we actually talked about this last week, did we? Maybe we did.
Oh yeah, we did. A little bit.
A little bit, but I thought if I had seen this, I mean, this came out in 2008, you know, the same year as you know, The Dark Knight and Iron Man, for that matter, I think. So mm-hmm. It was like this is one sort of potential direction for superhero movies, and it was a direction that quickly ended. But I think had I seen it back then, I would not have liked it. I would not have been able. I just the tone would not have worked for me at the time.
I rented it back then when it came out on home video, and I didn't like it. But I'm also not a huge Punisher fan.
No, there you go. I mean, neither am I, right? So, but I watch it now, and it's like okay, it makes, especially considering the sort of weird treatment that
It's all the Ennis stuff they stole from Welcome Back, Frank that makes me laugh in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all the non-Ennis stuff that doesn't work for me, and that's, to be fair, Ennis, who later had a very serious, long-standing Punisher run that is considered very highly among people who really like Punisher, I always just liked Welcome Back, Frank, which is 12 issues of him and Steve Dillon making each other laugh, essentially, while doing a Punisher story. You know, this is a story where he drop kicks someone in a wheelchair into a burning building, kills someone by feeding them to a polar bear, and if I remember this right, gets Spider-Man knocked unconscious and uses his body as a human shield.
That's awesome.
It is an impressive run of that sort of madness that Dillon and Ennis love to do.
Right. And it's those moments that are clearly the best in the moment. Although apparently, because I was listening to the podcast, How Did This Get Made, with an interview with Lexi Alexander, the director, she said that most of the violence that is in the movie she took directly from Ennis. But she said the one thing that she put that she wrote in there was the parkour guy getting blown up by a rocket in mid leap. And it's actually a standout moment because you're watching this and you're thinking, oh my god, freaking parkour. But she said that at the time, almost every movie around that time they were throwing parkour in, and she said she enjoyed parkour, but she said that she understood that people were getting really sick of it. And she said, well, let's just blow some, like, let's put some parkour people and then have them die, like, horrifically.
Like, it's a great visual.
Possible. And it was like, ding, yep.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, like I tried to watch the Warcraft movie. Incomprehensible.
Oh, really?
You needed to have a grounding in, at the very least, what any of this shit was.
Ugh. Okay.
Good. Which is, again, it's fair. If you're just making the movie for your fans, I can't fault it for that. But if they were trying to get new people in, not a great job of it.
Right. Okay, this doesn't surprise me. Well, it is a little surprising because, I mean, it was such an expensive effects-heavy movie. You'd think that there would be some, like, some note saying, can we make this make sense, please, for people who don't know Warcraft?
Also,
maybe Duncan Jones was like, no, screw it. To be fair,
it was also terribly written.
Oh, to be fair.
Now, I'm just saying that it might have been more inclusive than I thought, but it was so badly written, I was just cringing too much to pay too much attention. That is a possibility.
In its defense, this movie sucked.
Right. Now, I do have high hopes. I do want to, you know, like, wait till it's on Netflix or whatever, wherever it is that I can grab it and watch it. I do kind of want to see the Power Rangers movie. Because I'm a huge, I'm old enough, I'm a huge Gatchaman fan, you know, from back when it was the terrible, terrible version of Battle of the Planets.
Right.
As opposed to the original really good show that was dark as fuck. Man, the difference is. When you're a kid, you're like, I love Battle of the Planets! And then you're like, oh wait, A, that fucking robot and robot dog don't exist. Thank God. Right? Like, Seven Zark Seven can go suck it. But then they're also like, you know, no, there's like, there are subplots, characters die, like, the actual original show is fairly dark. And it's way more interesting, and look, it's not a brother and sister team, it's a villain who can change their gender at will.
Mm-hmm.
That makes way more sense out of the dialogue. terrible. But, you know, and that was kind of the original, like, five-person team thing in Japan.
Hmm.
That gave birth to what would become Voltron. It gave birth to, like, the 20 or 30 different shows of Power Rangers over the years. You know, that, of course, over here, we just take scenes of them and cut them together like they did with, you know, Macross and turned it into Robotech. Because, like, every year in Japan, like, it's a different show. Like, they're different characters. There are new Rangers, and they have a new mission. Over here, we just kind of meld them all together and just act like it's one thing.
Ah.
So I'm very curious to watch that Power Rangers movie over here, because I'm like, I have no buy-in. Like, my buy-in for it is 20 years before its time.
Right.
And it goes back to the raw concept of the five-member science ninja type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Voltron, which are all the building blocks of Power Rangers. I'm like, so do I have enough buy-in that... I don't know. And I'm curious. And I'm just, you know, like, is it a decent movie? Is it crap? I don't know. So I need to find that out.
Oh,
I am guaranteed, though. I'm going to say certainly right now, better than the last Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, yes. I am pretty certain that that will be the case.
I'm just going to call it right now.
It's just, I'm going to make a bold prediction.
Yeah, it's probably the least bold prediction ever made.
I've got a mass of rats and worms in this bucket for you. Oh, well, better than Fantastic Four.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of want to see the Power Rangers movie too. I just, because when it came out, I don't know, it just had this...
Didn't look bad.
Yeah, it had this particular vibe about it from the trailers and also from the critical reaction that it was like, I think there's a stealth good movie in here that people aren't really seeing, but...
Because they're blinded by Power Rangers for kids. It's stupid, you know what I mean?
Precisely, yeah. And
I like to cut through that and actually see it for myself to kind of go, okay, well, you know, from my angle, like, how does it work?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I do have to catch up with that at some point. Also, of course, there was the whole D23 Disney thing with a whole bunch of announcement stuff.
Oh, right.
Most of which is meaningless. To me, at least, Star Wars, whatever, I'll watch them. I've been enjoying the new Star Wars stuff, so hopefully I'll keep doing it, but I don't really care yet.
Yeah, I watched the little behind-the-scenes feature on the new... on The Last Jedi. I mean, mostly I'm just in it for a Rian Johnson movie, more than a Star Wars movie.
I think at this point I'm equally involved. No, it's not true. I'm in it more for Rian Johnson. Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I also enjoy me a Star Wars movie. Like you, I'm not... I mean, I grew up with it, but I'm not a huge fan.
I'm versed in it, but yeah, it's like, if it's bad, it's not going to be like, oh no! It's going to be like, okay, well, maybe I'll try the next one, maybe I won't, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to be the one of the people going around saying, they ruined my childhood.
Yeah, that's why I watched the prequels, and I didn't really like them, but I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're not movies that I really want to go back and rewatch, except I have. Because they're not terrible. I mean, they're terrible, but they're not terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
There's something there. But, you know, they did the first footage from the Avengers Infinity War because Marvel can't let you just enjoy the next two movies that are coming up, or three movies. They have to, like, shoot you out to this big thing years ahead.
Right. And, I, of course, we, nobody, no, no civilians have not really seen the footage, but we've, I've read reports.
Yeah. Sounds interesting.
It does. Apparently Captain America has a beard now, which means he's been through some shit.
Sure. Or it just means that Chris Evans was like, fuck you, pay me more to get this movie or I ain't shaving. whichever. I'm fine either way.
Patience. I just, I can't think of Chris Evans now without thinking of the final, like, post-credits.
Oh, that was so great. I saw a review of Spider-Man that was really angry about that.
Why?
Because they felt that the post-credit scene should be like a thing that gives you more of the story and, you know, gives you a look at like the next movie maybe and ties everything together, and instead they just had the thing that was mocking fans for caring. And I'm like, it was called a joke, motherfucker. Like, how far above your head did that shit fly?
Yeah, and have you not seen like the Marvel credits, credit stingers before? A lot of them are jokes. A lot of them are just jokes.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck, I'm not that kind of doctor. I mean, this is, if they have two, one of them is going to be, or how about eating shawarma? Like, come on. Right. Just lighten up.
Yeah.
Speaking of lightening up. Did you know that Lily James is dating Matt Smith?
I believe I've heard this before.
That's right. And speaking of segues, if you wish to segue at this point into the big announcement.
Yes, the very exciting announcement that Jodie Whittaker is the new Doctor.
What? What do you mean, Jodie Whittaker?
That's Jodie Whittaker. I'm sorry.
That sounds like a woman's name.
What?
Jodie.
What? Yes, we have our first female doctor. So, of course, the man babies are out in force, rending what little hair they have, and crying alone in their basements.
Rending the hair on their necks.
Right. And crying that this is going to ruin Doctor Who forever, because obviously you can have an alien life form that happens to look vaguely human and can regenerate into a completely different body. That's fine. Time travel? Completely fine. Like little squid things that live in, like, you know, old pepper pots and are the most dangerous thing in the universe? Totally understandable. But the alien regenerate into a woman's body instead of a man's body? Just, that's a step too goddamn far. Yeah, even though it's happened before.
Right, well, if we're looking at Missy, yes.
Or Romana.
Yeah, or Romana as a time lady, yes.
Who, you know, returned into a mailbox. Like, it just, this is not news.
Nope.
And yet, they are flipping the hell out. Because 50 years and 12 of these characters all being male isn't enough. It must be every single one. Although, of course, people were suddenly bitching, going, what are we going to have next? A female James Bond or a female Indiana Jones? Like, okay.
Yeah, so, sure.
Why not?
That shit on, yeah. What's next, Jamie? Somebody, I saw that. What's next, Jamie Bond? Like, why not? These people aren't real. They're fictional. They can be whatever the fuck they want.
Also, I'm sorry. Tell me, like, Angela Bassett would be the best Bond we've seen in a long time. Ooh, come on.
Good Bond. Yeah.
Right? That's an easy get. Lucy Liu, an amazing Bond. Or Indiana Jones. I don't care.
Right.
So, yeah, no, they can all just go burn in a very large fire. It is amazing. Somebody took a bunch of comments from, I don't know if you saw this, someone took a bunch of comments from Daily Mail, from people bitching about this possibly happening.
Oh, and
did them as title cards?
Yes. Who wants to see a TARDIS full of bras?
Nobody wants a TARDIS full of bras.
That's right.
The BBC are trying to brainwash your children. And again, so far, these sound like actual good episodes of Doctor Who I would watch. Time travel is for men and men only. Again, I'd watch that episode. Political correctness should not exist in space. actually sounds, I think Moffat wrote that episode. where the Doctor proves this all wrong and says, fuck you. I'm pretty sure we've seen that episode.
I think so. I really want to see the TARDIS full of bras episode. Like, as a version of, like the Trouble with Tribbles. Just, like, endlessly multiplying bras that they have to sort out.
And I did see, speaking of another Bond, is that Gillian Anderson, like, threw her hat in the ring for Bond once.
Nice.
Where's the downside? Like, please to be explaining, because I'm not understanding this.
Are we not seeing, like, Charlize Theron, like, in Atomic Blonde coming up soon? I mean...
Right. And I think my other favorite thing was somebody saying that he misses Russell Davies because, you know, he would never do this. I'm like, oh, sweet summer child.
Russell Davies would be lining up to have, like, you know, whatever. He'd probably hire like a trans woman to play the next Doctor. I mean,
if he could, if he could have gotten it past the BBC, who probably would have been the biggest stumbling block with all this.
Yeah,
you know he would have.
Oh yeah.
And oh, fucking assholes.
The funny thing is, like, with the whole notion of, like, a woman playing the Doctor, like, the way it's sort of gone over the history of Doctor Who, from something that isn't even, would never be considered, to being like a joke, as in, you know, Moffat's Curse of Fatal Death, to being sort of this topic of debate, and then just sort of one day it was, I think people just kind of woke up and said, well, why not? I mean,
Chibnall said that he always planned it.
Nice.
That was in his plan from the start, was let's do a female Doctor. Which, of course, people were like, see, it should never be cast that way. It's like, well, but if they said, well, it should always be a male Doctor, you wouldn't have flinched. So...
Well, this will be good. Although my other favorite strain of my two other favorite strains of comments besides the enraged man baby ones are the people going, still not a ginger, although there are photos of Jodie Whittaker with red hair.
Still not a ginger. I think that's the one they should never do. Just like, let's draw one line in the sand, and here it is.
Right. Even if they have an alien, like an actual physically alien-looking Doctor.
Yeah.
Still with no red hair.
They're like, you know, we have this lizard person that we found. Great actor. It's not makeup. Actual, like, slee stack. But they're going to be wearing a blonde fucking wig.
We went to the Land of the Lost and hired his slee stack.
I don't know why I went there, but I did.
I don't know. That's pretty good. I think I
always want Land of the Lost to come back well, just because I miss Slee Stack.
I think the Will Ferrell Land of the Lost vehicle or whatever it was not so good. The other thread that I kind of enjoyed seeing was people saying, "Well, who's a companion going to be? Is it going to be a hunky male companion now?" And I'm like, sure, but fuck off. Who cares? Just let's
right. Like, we've had that before too. Are you guys wishing for Eric to come back because you're alone? And I mean, really? Let's bring K-9 back and be done with it. God damn it!
Ooh, that I can deal with. Affirmative. Yeah, it would be great to have a sort of a 1970s robot dog on wheels. Yeah. Basically a little toaster, just walking around or rolling around. Yeah, I'm all in on this. I've seen Whittaker in Attack the Block and Broadchurch. Mm-hmm. And I think she's
great actress.
I think she's fine. Yeah, and I also quite liked the there's very you didn't see much of her acting in the little teaser, but right. I did enjoy the sort of like the half smile she gets when she looks at the TARDIS back. I'm like, okay, this is going to be like she packed a lot just into that smile. I thought this
exactly.
Good. Yeah, I thought this is good.
I forgot to tell you the creepiest comment I saw.
Oh, Jesus.
There's so much to unpack with this. I don't even think we have time like this month. But this guy was like, you know, I've always enjoyed the special relationship between the Doctor and his female companions. I'm not sure that'll work the same with a female Doctor and a male companion.
The special relationship.
And I'm like, put down your copy of Lolita and walk the fuck away. Because you've just creeped out everyone.
Yeah. Jesus.
Holy Christ. Shit. Like, that's once you unpack that, you're like, oh, you mean, oh. It doesn't get good.
No.
Oh, God damn it. So, in other news, there was a little bit of Invincibles news, if you didn't catch it.
Or are you saying Invincibles?
Incredibles.
Okay, yeah. They looks like we're finally seeing some footage. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen the footage, but they said apparently it starts right when the first movie ends. Like, the first scene is The Undertaker.
Nice.
And this one focuses more on Elastigirl.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
But yeah, they're just like, we know that it's, not, like, it's been 14 years since the actual movie, but it's animated, so we get to not care.
Respect. Very nice. So it'll just be the same, except maybe they can throw in Isis or something as a...
Yikes.
Yeah, I forget I said that.
Like, either version, because the 70s TV show character, Isis?
Yeah, actually.
Archer's Isis?
I literally think of that every time I see news about Isis. I think, what you mean, like the flying around Egyptian queen goddess from the 70s? Sure, why not? I thought that's a funny threat to have. I would go for that on The Incredibles.
Yeah. I'm about to leave a very, very nerdy little comment to somebody. Sorry.
Here's my nerdy comment. Fuck you!
Someone's like, why doesn't the War Doctor count again? And I'm like, same reason the Valiard doesn't.
Yeah.
And we're out. anyway,
that was a low time in...
That was okay.
in Doctor history. Anyway, I think we've hit the hour mark just about, hey?
Just about. Yeah. Now, again, there won't be a show next week, so by the time we come back, hopefully we'll both have seen Valerian.
Hopefully. I've read a couple of reviews.
Yeah, me too.
And it's kind of what I expected for a critical response.
Yeah, it's pretty, but there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Saw movie. What's there is what is always there.
Yeah.
No more, no less. That's fine. That's what we're in it for. We're good.
Exactly.
And again, I'm not saying that they're wrong. You know, not debating that they're wrong. It's just people who are fans of Besson's films, we know what we're going to get. And you either like it or you don't, and that's fair either way.
Mm-hmm.
But, ta-da! It's not going to suddenly be a thing.
No. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be crazy, and I'm going to love it. That's my guess. Yep. And it will be better than the Fantastic Four movie.
It'll be so good you won't even know that it's a movie.
You won't even remember seeing it. That's how good it is.
But yeah, it'll be that. There'll be some episodes of all the stuff we usually watch and all that crap. And I'll be close to finishing this fucking novel.
Woohoo!
But no one cares but me. yeah.
And your editor, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not. Anyway, until then, we'll cue some music.
Oh, yes, music.
Woo!
Bring it on.